It is, in case you didn't know, a city of 28,000 people. It is home to film and TV actor Daniel Dae Kim, home to the signer of the Declaration of Independence, George Taylor, of football coach Park Davis, Broadway star Dee Rossioli, TV personality Sally Jesse Raphael, and, of course, the assassin, the champion of heavyweight boxing, Larry Holmes. It is also the home to the confluence and the scenic banks of the Lehigh and Delaware Rivers. The city, you guessed it, Easton, Pennsylvania, known now to many as the new cultural and arts center of Eastern Pennsylvania. It was in 1996 that several artists came together to promote Easton and the Riverside Festival of the Arts. And this year, we all, every one of us, celebrate its 20th anniversary. Imagine, for example, cupcake wars. Oh, that sounds great. Cuisine challenges, refreshments, great food, performance art, Easton theater groupings, workshops, and even a yoga session with Native American Lenape drum beats swelling the air of the River Bend. The games begin Saturday, September 17th, 11 to 5:30, and Sunday, September the 18th, from 11 to 5. And it is absolutely free to attend. One of the highlights of the festival is spotting plein air artists throughout the city and on the riverbanks as they paint vantage points of Easton, Pennsylvania that you have never even noticed before. What a terrific festival. We have it right here in the Lehigh Valley. This is WDIY 88.1 FM Allentown, and you are attuned to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we chat today with the Riverside Festival of the Arts Easton chairperson, Lady Colleen Heller, and plein air coordinator and marketing director, Ellen Shaughnessy. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
Well, we're delighted you're here. We're delighted that we're celebrating 20 years of this festival.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And you have a new chairman, or chairperson.
It's a chairwoman.
Chairwoman. A lady.
It's pretty exciting that we have one, because our last chairperson had another obligation and needed to retire, and then our festival was actually going to die in the 20th year, and we thought, oh, no, that can't happen. So we put together a job description, and we asked Ace to help us in a hunt for a new chairperson, and thank God Lady Colleen stepped up.
Yay. Well, I didn't exactly step up. I was pushed by Mary Iacovone. I could spell her name so you can find her.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
I thought it was interesting that we were talking a little bit before the interview, lady, and you said that if you were going to do it, you were going to do it big. And there's a lot of new, along with old favorites and things that have been highlights of the festival before, a lot of new projects and activities this year.
Yeah, I thought, well, if I'm going to do anything, I like to put everything into it. But I had some very specific ideas on what I would like to see under the word arts. Because it's Riverside Festival of the Arts, not limited. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to open up the possibilities. And we have plein air and the beautiful exhibitors that we have, from craft to fine art, that's all there. Okay, so what are we missing? We have music. That's great. That's been going on. We didn't have dance. Mm. We didn't have theater. So that was a concern. But we didn't have food as art, which was a big concern for me, a foodie living in a foodie town. So we also created food as art contests, which we're working through the summer and coming to the end in September. So those are the biggest things I think we've changed. We have Art Throwdown that's going to be happening. We're very proud to be bringing in some cultural, spiritual, and educational, inspiring workshops to do, demonstrations to do.
I was going to say, one of the things that strikes me about this festival is that it makes it feels accessible and hands-on. I mean, it's a celebration, a joyed range of joyed artists showing the best work out there. But, you know, on the other hand, there's opportunities for me, the person coming to the festival, to get involved, to make art, to learn about what they're doing, to be intimate with it.
Yeah, not everyone has grown up with art in their lives, and maybe someone might feel intimidated about walking into an art gallery, like, oh, I'm not sure if I can afford this, or maybe I don't really understand what this is about. So this festival really makes art accessible to everyone. And we have a diverse city. We have a diverse line of artists. We have a diverse line of exhibitors and plein air artists. And it's just really exciting to see, you know, art in action, and we make it very approachable.
I know one of the educational elements is something called, is it Riverside Faces?
Or yes.
Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes, one of our really amazing artists, his name is Ian Summers. He really likes faces. He finds them everywhere, in food, in drinks. Wherever you go, you'll see a marking, hey, can you see the face? And so I was really enthralled by his concept of looking for faces and everything. And then I asked him, would you like to be an educator for Riverside? And he said, yes. And I said, you could do something with faces. And he said, well, I can do the faces of Riverside. And I went, what does that mean? So what he does is he takes your face and he draws it in black on like a canvasy kind of material. Then he takes that and he turns it over and he presses it on this massive board. When he peels it off, there it is sitting there. He offers the person, they can buy their face if they want to. But in a year's time, he would have colored all of it in. So next year when you come back, you can look for your face under Riverside Faces 20th year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wonderful.
And there's a large mural project as well that...
Yes, that would be James Gloria,
right,
from Tots Institute. James, sort of like this hidden treasure, he does massive work all through Nazareth and big, huge things. And he's always been looking forward to doing something that would deal with Easton. And so I asked him, I said, would you be interested in doing something at the festival? And he jumped right in and said, I would love to do something there. It's time for you to come out and come to us. Let's meet. Let's all join the arts in all kinds of facets, not be so limited. I just do this and you just do that. Let's put it together. So he has. So he's making this huge mural. He's drawing it all out. Big, big canvas. He's going to put it on the ground. He's bringing paint cans with acrylic paint and broom brushes. So anyone can come up and they can pick up a broom. And he, with his guidance, you will brush in this mural. We'll raffle it the same day, and some can go home with a huge mural they paid $5 for.
Oh, wonderful.
So, and and he's giving everything. He's giving all the materials, all the paints, the brushes, and the time. You know, we have some really wonderful giving artists out there, and you know, James Gloria is one of them.
Ellen, as the plein air coordinator, I must admit to you, when I was a kid, I would love to paint. And I often wondered what this plein air really meant. And I thought it was, you know, painting of airplanes and things like that. And fortunately, I found out that it's a French term, en plein air, which means open air. So it's not in the basement. It's not in your attic studio. It is indeed outside.
Yeah.
So you can take in vision of the entire to the confluences of the river, plus the people, plus the background, plus the environment.
Yeah, and this is one of the central pieces of our art festival, this and, of course, the over 60 fine art and fine craft exhibitors, which are juried. And then this year, something new also is a large tent of just juried art pieces. And our prizes are double this year. So for plein air art contest, total prizes are $2,000, the top prize of $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the juried arts tent, it's $2,000 of prizes for the top fine arts and fine crafts. And you don't necessarily have to be an exhibitor to enter the juried art contest.
Mm,
right. You can just put a piece in, and you don't have to have a booth.
So it is open to anyone, even
open
now.
To anyone.
Is there a deadline?
For the juried arts tent, September 1st is when we'll make the decision who goes in the tent.
Okay.
So you must send digital to us so that we can see what you have, and we can then decide whether or not you will be juried into that tent for those prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Plein air is different. Anything goes. Anyone can just
show up on the day.
I was going to say, it's incredibly participatory.
Up until the event. And that one is a $30 fee to enter, but the top prize, like I said, it's $1,000, $500 for second, $300 for third. And that's a really exciting contest because you'll be walking through the town, maybe you want to go get a soda somewhere or whatever, and then all of a sudden you'll turn a corner and somebody is there painting away frantically before the light changes, and it's really neat to just see what kind of corners these artists mm-hmm. scope out that you really might have never mm-hmm. noticed before. And then when the artists bring their pieces back, it's just really, really exciting to see such amazing art that just was created like in 2-3 hours
amazing.
On the fly.
So that work is all created within the 2 days of the festival,
yes,
actually.
Yeah.
Some people create within the same day.
Yeah.
They just
yeah.
do it in a few hours and they're uh-huh. done. It's like it amazes me. But it's so inspiring to say, they did it. Well, maybe I can do that too.
So then those pieces yeah. will be judged on Sunday afternoon and the awards will be given. And then the plein air pieces will come back because we have some gallery shows coming okay. up. And so that's exciting. It'll live on.
Yeah,
into the winter.
What we've tried to do this year is we started Riverside early by having all the challenges starting in June. And then we're going to extend past the date and have all the galleries for all the art of winners into the wintertime,
okay.
and perhaps into the earlier January, February with the State Theater, who we're aligning with for their gallery.
I was going to say we should remind listeners there's so much information and there's still these opportunities that are open. EastonRiversideFest.org is what you need to remember, the website, EastonRiversideFest.org, as well as the Facebook page, which I spent most of today on enjoying finding out about the Lenni Lenape and the yoga and all the rest of all the excitement and the things that are still coming into play, but particularly reminding artists that there are opportunities out there.
And the artists now, we had a cutoff date for the program. So if you have an application and it says date passed, it means date passed for your name to go in the program. But we have a new graphics person who said we can run it right straight through to the 31st, and that won't affect them being in the book. So even if you do have an application and it does say it's done by this date, it's the 31st. But don't forget the jury has to be in September 1st. That's it for the jury.
You know, you also mentioned briefly when we had our chat before the show that this is truly an involvement of people and artists, because workshops are offered so that people can
demos.
Create with the artist a piece of work.
Yes, it's hands-on. You'll be able to go right up to somebody and work right alongside them. It's like you're getting an education from people you would never expect would spend a second of time with you are giving you their experience, their joy for, and their passion for their art.
Mm-hmm. And every year we have a wonderful children's interactive art tent, and thank you to Crayola for all the art supplies. So that'll be going on all weekend long, too. There'll be plenty to do for families, children, everyone.
I was intrigued by the healing arts session. Is that part of the children's programming? Or
there's two things going on with the healing arts. Okay. We have educational tents, and we have healing arts tents.
Okay.
The educational tents would be something like Ian Summers with the Faces of Riverside, James Gloria with the mural. And on the children's side or the healing side, there would also be Chesna, who will be talking to the children about how to be healthy in a very fun and spoken word kind of way. And one of our painters, Kathy Stoops, who's excellent, she will be taking herbal plants and flowers and flora from the area and creating art with the children and adults mm-hmm. right there on site. So giving them a different relationship with the painting and what's around them and bringing nature back into the yeah. playing of the whole arena, which is art.
Which is kind of wonderful because the festival itself celebrates its natural setting and the beautiful natural setting of Easton and the rivers. Very circular. It's lovely.
Oh, sounds nice already. Let's go.
George, you had a question, I think, about the inclusion of theater and dance, which
yes,
is really blossomed this year.
We're going to talk about that when we come back from okay. our break. But I did want to mention National Geographic has something important to say, too.
Yeah, they created a website for tourism along this portion of the Delaware River corridor. And so we'll be on there front and center soon when people are looking to plan their trips out to our area.
It's actually on now, so I just checked it about two weeks ago.
Okay.
And there it is. It's National Geographic Geo.
Perfect.
Yep. Okay.
And you'll
it
find it.
We are chatting with Ellen Shaughnessy, who's the Marketing Director and Plein Air Coordinator, and with Lady Colleen Heller, the Chairperson for the Riverside Festival of the Arts Easton. And we shall be back in a moment and perhaps learn about some plans for the 2017 events of Riverside Festival Arts in Easton after this notable message.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
This is George Miller, and along with my wife, Kate Scuffle, we are chatting with Lady Colleen Heller, who is the chairperson of Riverside Festival of the Arts, and Ellen Shaughnessy, who is the plein air coordinator and marketing director for the event, and it is a terrific one. Tell us just a little bit more about what's going to happen in addition to all the visual art, the painting that's going on. There's other things. There's showcases of other things.
Dance, music, theater, cupcake wars. Where do we start?
Let's start with dance, because professional dance is a very important art. And what we have is this year, Adora, which is one of the dance schools, will be participating along with Tots Institute, which is where James Gloria also is there. His wife, Angeline, who is a well-renowned dancer, she will also be performing and with her students there at Riverside. And the other is we have the Tappers. So we are going to have tap dancing back. I'm really looking forward to that. Getting the flooring is a little bit difficult, but it's really very exciting. I just love the sound of a good tap, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes this year.
I think in our opening ceremony on Saturday, we're going to have a Native American group participation event, too, like a round dance. So that should be exciting. Anybody's interested in
I was intrigued.
Participating.
The Lenape presence in the weekend, as well as the yoga connection.
The Lenape tribe is of Easton is Lenape. And speaking to the head person for the group that we're talking to now about making this a final thing, he also mentioned that the Iroquois would be part of it, perhaps, and there would also be Cherokee and perhaps a different tribe. So we're calling it Native American for the opening things, but Lenape definitely will be drumming for the yoga.
And that's with Easton Yoga on
Sunday morning at 9:30.
Open to everyone.
Sounds wonderful.
Yes.
Outdoor yoga. And there's the Freddy Brigade.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Well, why is it the Freddy Brigade?
Because it's the alumni.
I see.
Yes. And Jamie Belliot on the State Theater, she just jumped right on board when I said, listen, what about getting the Freddies there? And she went, okay. And I was like, just like that? She went, well, it's early, but okay. So now we do have a definite that we're going to call them the Brigade, and it will be the high school students as well as alumni bringing the Freddies in through Riverside, which they've never been at before. So.
And then there's also going to be a performance by the Easton Theater Co-op.
Yes.
Yes.
Very exciting. I saw them on Facebook, quite honestly.
Yeah. Oh, that's a new group.
Brett Oliveira.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's very exciting. I saw that picture, and I went, I have to contact you. I contacted him, and he was like right on it, like, who are you? I went, well, I'm the chair of Riverside. And he said, oh, okay, what are you doing? I said, we want you to come for us. And he was just right on top
of it.
That's wonderful. Very, very, looking very forward to it.
I think it's one
it.
Of their first performances as a group, but they're all really seasoned hands. They're great performers.
Well, they have something going on already. I couldn't make the first one they had in August. I think at the Pomfret Club?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, and I wasn't here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes up with.
Now, the cuisine challenge and the cupcake wars, this is new this year, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's food is art.
Okay. And how that has begun already, actually.
Yeah, so what happens is we sat as a committee and said, okay, what do we want to do? We'll have 12 restaurants and we'll have 12 bakers. And every month from June until August, we'll take 4 each month. So if we have a cuisine challenge, the first 4 that were chosen randomly would compete against each other with the judges. They would go to their restaurants and they'd go with scorecards and they'd score it up. At the end, they give us the scorecards, we add them up, and we come up with the winner. Whoever wins that month doesn't eliminate again. They just go right to finals, because that would be a lot of eliminations, and that wasn't the idea. The idea was to have this come and roll into being, but it's worked out really well. The judges have been fantastic, and the chefs have been crazy about the finale, because if they get to the finale, the kicker is that they have to be part of their food. So if you made shrimp dish somehow you have to look like that shrimp. And the same with the cupcake wars.
Be careful what you choose.
Yeah, that's right. And I said, make sure whatever you choose, you remember, you must represent that at the finals, because food as art, art wins.
So your finalist's work is all under wraps and only to be unveiled at the grand finale at our festival on Sunday, right?
Yes, yeah, Sunday at 2 o'clock is the Cupcake Wars challenge, and 3 o'clock is the cuisine. And I said to all of them, bring whoever you want with you. So if they want to come themselves or they bring 6 shrimp men, it doesn't matter. The more the better, because that's the fun of the arts, right? So they're all very excited about it.
And P.S., for everyone at the festival attending, we'll have plenty of food trucks and libations.
And sweets and... Yeah, we
You won't go hungry or thirsty.
Or thirsty. Well, we've covered adult and children this year.
I was going to say, Easton's got such a growing rep as a foodie city as it is. It just seems only fitting.
Well, they've done a lot of different kinds of competitions, but we were told by the chefs that this was, everyone was really excited about it. And I said, yeah, because we have to dress up.
And I just wanted to also mention that James Supra will be back. He's been our sound man and our MC for the last few years, and he always does a fantastic job. And he's got a great lineup. Some of the bands include the Gypsy Star Band with Billy Keane, Public Display of Rejection, and then there's a Grateful Dead tribute band coming on Saturday afternoon. I think they're donating over an
they're
hour.
They're donating over an hour
music.
And a half of time, and they're an awesome band. They travel all over the United States.
And then on Sunday, we have Acoustic Kitty with Carter Lansing,
and
Soul
Easton
Folks,
and
Heidi Ott and Joel Zingone, and Serene Green with Michael Johnson. So plenty of great music on tap, no charge.
Yeah, that's the thing about the festival. Everyone says to me, is it free? Yes, it's free, because now there's so many festivals where you have to pay just to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people that won't, they go to the door. I've heard people, I went there and it was $8 to get in and I left. I went, why'd you go that far and you're going to turn around? Well, I want to spend it on something. It's like, okay, but ours is free.
But of course you can buy things if you want to, because all of our exhibiting artists will be showing their own handmade art and work. And there's some beautiful items, very unique. Personally, I get a lot of holiday shopping done at this event.
Yeah, it's perfect timing
really
for that.
Really special.
I was going to say, it's 660 plus exhibitors of this jewelry.
That's right.
Really high quality,
they're
really
all
diverse.
Quality.
Yeah.
And another thing, the Juried Arts Gallery, which is a separate arts tent where we have, you can bring, if you're not exhibiting, or if you are exhibiting, you can bring a piece of art. It's a $35 entrance fee. It's juried into that tent. That's the tent where you can earn up to $2,000. But everything in that tent's for sale. Mm-hmm. People think that if it's in a separate area, it's not for sale.
Mm-hmm.
No, all of it's for sale.
We do notice, too, that we just want to mention someone might get to Easton and say, where is this? Of course, it's at the Riverside and Scott Parks on Larry Holmes Drive. But it's also in the center city of Easton.
Is it?
Portions
well,
of
the,
it.
The farmer's market will be going on
the
that morning.
Right, yes.
And then I think we're going to have a shuttle trolley for some auxiliary parking.
But not from the town center.
But, yeah, you can certainly walk there from the town center.
Oh, of course. It's,
yeah.
it's only a couple blocks.
It's a whole three blocks. So.
I wanted to ask about the art throwdown, too. What is that?
The Art Wars is an event that Zeke Ziegler has been managing throughout the Lehigh Valley over the years.
Yes.
And the way that the Art War starts is with what they call the throwdown. So the next gauntlet will be thrown at the 20th Annual Riverside Festival of the Arts. What this is, it's $5 if you want to enter, and I believe the categories are up to 17 years old, and then a second category, 17 plus.
Okay.
So anyone can enter this, and then the winners of each art war progresses throughout the Lehigh Valley and then gets narrowed down, and then there's winners chosen, in the wintertime, I think.
And that information will be online, so you just have to keep checking EastonRiversideFest.org.
One of our friends, who is an artist, Marianne Recker, noted on your webpage somewhere that I look forward to the Riverside Festival of the Arts every year, and I start my holiday shopping there. She loves the diversity of the fine artists and the crafts. So that's an idea, too. Pick up some gifts for your friends.
Why not? For yourself.
Absolutely. Very it's the Riverside Festival of the Arts.
EastonRiversideFest.org.
Yes. Uh-huh. And you can find what's going on exactly at that place. So please do.
And on Facebook.
Thank you, Lady Colleen Heller and Ellen Shaughnessy, for joining us. Special thanks, too, to our technical engineer, Steve Aronson, who creates a festival and celebration every time that we serve as hosts here on WDIY. Thanks, Uncle Stevie. Thank you.
Thank you all for having
us. For having
we'll see
us.
You out
Thank
there.
You.
Absolutely.
EastonRiversideFest.org.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
The Ghostbusters female reboot is fun, frivolous, and freaky, especially in the 3D format in which the movie was seen for this review. You will feel as if you were slimed with that green juice or hit with those rays from the proton containment laser that seemed to shoot straight from the screen at you in the theater seat. Director Paul Feig, who directed Spy, The Heat, Bridesmaids, and TV's The Office, Nurse Jackie, and Arrested Development, goes straight for the cheesy 3D effects. And that's what makes the Ghostbusters female redo a good choice for 2 hours of air-conditioned entertainment. The screenplay by Paul Feig, co-written by Feig and Katie Dippold, who wrote The Heat and TV's Parks and Recreation, is based on the 1984 Ghostbusters movie, directed by Ivan Reitman and written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. It's a tough act to follow because the original is on some lists as one of the funniest movies ever. Also, Ghostbusters 2 was well-liked. The storyline about so-called parapsychologists operating a ghost removal service is basically the same. This time, Aaron Gilbert, played by Kristen Wiig, is fired from a Columbia University teaching position after the book Ghosts from Our Past that she co-wrote with Abby Yates, played by Melissa McCarthy, who researches ghosts at a technical college with Dr. Jillian Holtzman, played by Kate McKinnon, resurfaces, as does a video of them and Patty Tolan, played by Leslie Jones, investigating ghosts at a New York City mansion museum. They open the Department of the Metaphysical Examination above a Chinese restaurant and hire Kevin Beckman, played by Chris Hemsworth, as the receptionist. The four female leads in the Ghostbusters remake are a witty and wacky crew, especially Kate McKinnon. Leslie Jones has some great over-the-top moments. Melissa McCarthy is her usual funny self. Kristen Wiig plays her trademark distractedness to the hilt. In cameos are several from the original Ghostbusters, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Sigourney Weaver. In supporting roles are Cecily Strong, Andy Garcia, Charles Dance, Ed Begley Jr., and Steve Higgins. It's great to have the Ghostbusters back. This time the females have our backs, with lots of laughs and some thrills and chills. Ghostbusters is MPAA rated PG-13 for supernatural action and some crude humor. Opening August 12 are Pete's Dragon. David Lowery directs Bryce Dallas Howard, Robert Redford, Una Lawrence, and the Lehigh Valley's Oakes Fegley in the fantasy adventure film about an orphan boy named Pete, played by Oakes Fegley, and his best friend Elliot, a dragon. Florence Foster Jenkins. Stephen Frears directs Rebecca Ferguson, Meryl Streep, Simon Helberg, and Hugh Grant in the biography comedy drama about Florence Foster Jenkins, a New York heiress who attempted to become an opera singer, despite being a poor singer. Sausage Party. Greg Tiernan and Conrad Vernon direct Seth Rogen, Kristen Wiig, Jonah Hill, and Bill Hader, who do the voices for the animation comedy about a sausage on a quest. Hey, the story concept could be worst. Anthropoid. Sean Ellis directs Cillian Murphy, Jamie Dornan, Harold Lloyd, and Toby Jones in the biography history war film about Operation Anthropoid, a World War II mission to assassinate the Third Reich's General Reinhard Heydrich, third in command behind Hitler and the man who devised the final solution. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.
This is WDIY Allentown. The Lehigh Valley's community NPR station and your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of hand-picked music. The time is approaching 6:30, and it's time to take charge of your life.